Ask you, when you go shopping for something significant, are you the kind of person who shops for the best deal in town, the best deal you can find, or are you somebody who supports your mate in business? There's two schools of thought really out there. One is support your mate in business. That's also known as buying local, or sometimes it's, buy Australian. You might hear that term used. Or the other school of thought is to shop around for the best deal. Chase down the best price for that item that you're looking for. See if there's a discount and see how far your money can go, basically. Of course, in the last 10 to 15 years, online shopping has become a real thing, hasn't it? You even order your groceries online now and they get delivered to your front door. There's even search engines out there that will help you to track down the best offer at the click of a button. The biggest issue, of course, these days is getting scammed, being tricked by all these online sort of shopping sort of deals that might actually trick you into buying a cheap gimmick rather than the real thing. So which is better? To buy local and support your mate, or to scour the planet for the best deal? Well, today we are going to see that Jesus offers us the best deal ever as far as salvation goes and eternal life. In many ways, there's no need to hunt for a better offer because the best offer is right in front of us with the gospel. I think this is one of the reasons that the key message at the start of chapter 2 here is to pay the most careful attention to the gospel, because it's the best deal we are ever going to come across. Now remember how chapter 2 starts off. We did see this a little bit towards the end of last week as well. The writer to the Hebrews says we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. You want to bring this up, Timothy? For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience... Bring it up, Tim. Every violation and disobedience receives its just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? So we have this call to stay focused on the message that Jesus has brought us, and that it carries more weight. You might remember from last week, it carries more weight than the message spoken through angels. But what is this reference to this message that's been brought by heavenly messengers? Well, all the messengers in the Old Testament, whether human or heavenly, were all speaking on God's behalf. They all brought news about how to live as God's people in God's creation. You could say that all the advice could be summarized in the Ten Commandments. It could be expanded into wisdom like it is in Proverbs, or developed into song like it is in the book of Psalms, or perhaps recorded in the histories, how people actually did live. And we see that in Exodus, Deuteronomy, all the different histories through the Old Testament. The people were to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength. You might remember that. They were not to make an idol cast in the form of anything in all creation, not to have any graven images. They were to honour their father and mother, not to murder, steal, covet, or any of these sort of things. They weren't to give false testimony. And as it says here, every violation of these commands was punished. It received its just punishment. It was called sin when you transgress the law. Now, there were arrangements made, of course, so that you could purify yourself from your sins. If you, you know, broke one of these laws, you went to the priest. And the righteous law of God demanded, actually, that your life was the debt if you sinned. But you could substitute the life of something else in your place. And so there was an entire sacrificial system in place to cleanse God's people from their sins. The priests slaughtered many, many, many animals over the years to pay for the sins of the people. And it was never ending. Now, hands up if you've ever been onto the kill floor of an abattoir. There's a few. A few of us, not heaps, but a few. You'll know that it smells very strongly. There are only a few people who can actually hold their nerve, hold their stomach, in order to be able to work there day in and day out. It smells very strongly. You might remember when Jesus comes to the temple in Jerusalem. He drives out the money changers, you know, he overturns the tables, you remember that story? But he also drives out all of those selling the animals for sacrifices. All the animals, all the smell, all the killing, all that was to provide purification for sins. But you see here, God's messengers in the Old Testament, they also knew that a better time was coming. There was hope of a far better solution for how to deal with sins. And they knew that that was coming in the future. The prophet Jeremiah is one of the prophets who speaks about this. Listen to what he says on this matter. Verse 31 of chapter 31, he says, "The days are coming. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand, led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, even though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord." This is the new arrangement he's going to put in place. "I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." Then he says, "No longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord." And then he says this, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Jeremiah foretold of a better deal, a better arrangement with God, a better way of dealing with the sins of the people was going to be revealed. And now it's arrived. Here, chapter 2 of Hebrews, this is what we're talking about. This forgiving of wickedness and remembering of sins no more is what we have in the gospel. And God goes to great lengths now to show us what's on offer. That's what the writer to the Hebrews says there. And as soon as he says it, we're actually reminded of all the things that have happened so that we might take notice of the gospel. Pay attention to this, is what he's saying. It's like great flashing lights pointing to a neon sign like you might have at the Boxing Day sales. You know, everyone puts up the big advertisements, you know, in lights. This is the best offer you're going to see. God goes to great lengths to remind us that the gospel invitation is real. It's not a gimmick or a fake, like so many other offers that are out there, trying to provide, you know, a way to the good life or your best life now, all those sort of ideas. In the Old Testament, you might remember that a lot of the nations around Israel had all these different idols that they would worship. And they were all worshipping in the hope of getting some better, you know, aspect of their life. They were, you know, whether it was for protection or for fertility or prosperity, whatever it was they were doing, worshipping these idols, they were trying to improve their life situation, the situation they were facing in life. Now, not a lot has changed over the ages. We still have a whole array of choices before us here in Billawheeler in 2023. Offers for a better life. You notice all the, how do you say, all the superannuation ads on TV offering that sort of security for the future, kind of protection. You might remember that old tagline of BCF, that's not living, this is living. And even though it's a pretty weak philosophy, everyone knows that it's just a fishing and camping shop. They are wildly successful, hugely popular, because many Australians are hooked on this idea of getting out there and having a better life. You'll have a better life if you can just get out and enjoy the outdoors, mainly by camping and fishing. And have you ever noticed that after a series of perhaps disappointing camping and fishing trips, people don't go, oh, well, that's a bad philosophy. They seem to go, oh, we just need better gear from BCF. We need to find better spots to go camping, better spots to go fishing. But look again what our God has done in bringing us the news of salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3, in the second half it says, this salvation, which was first announced by the Lord Jesus, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. You see, the disciples and the eyewitnesses at the time are confirming the message of salvation that was first brought by Jesus. Notice there, Jesus was the first to announce it. First to announce the gospel. Now, we can see this in memorable places like in John 3:16. Everyone probably knows that verse off by heart. You know, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus brings the message of salvation. And the disciples, his followers, the eyewitnesses, they confirmed the message. Early on in Acts chapter 2, you might remember, Peter, James and John, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the crowd start to go, what is this we're hearing? We can hear the gospel in each of our own native languages, but these guys are all from Galilee. What's happening here? And you remember the answer that Peter gives. He says, let all Israel be assured of this. This is Acts 2. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, with the gospel. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. This is now the new way that sins are being forgiven, no longer by sacrificing all of those animals, but simply by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The disciples confirm the message of salvation with the people. Not just here, but we read, you know, over and over again at numerous other places in the New Testament where this message of salvation is confirmed. So you've got Jesus bringing the message, the disciples confirming the message, and then God himself, God the Father, testifies to it as well. This is God saying, yes, this is my message to you. This is my offer for the forgiveness of your sins. Again, if you look back in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, it says, this salvation, first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Verse 4, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. All the signs, the miracles, the outpourings of the Holy Spirit, all these things that Jesus does, they're done so that people will take to heart the message of salvation. Calming the storm, raising Lazarus from the dead, healing the blind, rising from the dead himself after 3 days, pouring out the Spirit at Pentecost, various other miracles, signs and wonders, they all testify to the fact that the message of salvation that God offers everyone is trustworthy and true. This is God telling us, listen to me, this is the best offer you are going to receive. It's what the prophets were looking forward to, pointing us towards in the Old Testament, and now Jesus has come, and he makes sense of it all. He's like the last missing piece of the puzzle that puts it all together. He brings the whole plan of salvation to light. And now the writer makes another powerful observation for us here that's going to help us to focus on the gospel and keep our eyes on him. In verse 5 of chapter 2, he says it's not to angels that he's subjected the world to come about which we're speaking. So we're speaking about the world to come here. But there's a place where someone's testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? The Son of Man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them, yet at present we don't see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, he says, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Angels are not going to inherit the new creation. That's for us to enjoy. You might ask, well, why on earth is God mindful of us? How did we come to get such a great blessing and not the heavenly beings who are in God's presence with God even now? They're in heaven. How did we get the jump on them? Well, God is mindful of us because of his love for us. That's what it says in John 3:16. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus. It's a monumental announcement of his plans here, his plans of salvation, with signs and wonders, so that we can know how much he loves us. They're testifying to the truth here. This message is trustworthy and reliable. Now it says there we already have some dominion over creation. You know, that was given to us right from the start. But we still don't control everything just yet. But when we look to Jesus and we see what he's capable of, and we see him crowned with glory and honour, exalted to the right hand of the Father, that helps us to look forward to that day when he will return and take us to be with him into this new creation, this new world about which we are speaking. Note there that Jesus is exalted and crowned with glory and honour because of his faithful obedience. In righteousness, he trusted his Father to the very end, even unto death. Unwavering loyalty, unwavering commitment to the Father and to his plans of salvation for each and every one of us. How could we ignore a message such as this one? How could you turn your back when so many signs, wonders, so many testimonies have pointed us towards the gospel of salvation? How could you let yourself drift away given this outstanding testimony that we have before us? Or why would you seek to pursue some other way of being happy in life, chasing after some way to be more fulfilled or better off, whatever it might be, when the best offer you'll ever receive is right before you? See here God's love and mercy and his grace as he pursues you in order to rescue you and bring you into everlasting life in his kingdom. Let's be convinced by God's testimony today. Let us be strengthened in our faith and trust Jesus and follow him in his footsteps all the way into the new creation. So again today, we are encouraged, aren't we, to grasp a hold of the gospel, to fix our eyes on Jesus and hold firm to the very end. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we thank you for that promise that our sins can be forgiven. Lord, help us to listen to this message that you sent your Son to deliver us. Thank you that he carried out all that he did on the cross by giving his life for ours. We thank you that there is no longer a great need to sacrifice animals month after month, year after year. But you have bought us, a better salvation. Help us to remember your testimony that points us to this message, that we can trust you. Lord, in our weakness we pray that you would give us that faith and courage to trust you for what you've done in Christ. Help us to share this news with our family and friends. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.